What up? It's your boy, Timmy Two Times.
All right, we're here. This is Saul.
And it's Rachel.
And it's Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
What do you got for us today, mate?
Oh, man, we got a full schedule today. First, we're going to talk about Facebook's war on free speech. They are now banning what they call dangerous groups. Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez has a new documentary out on Netflix this week. It's titled Knock Down the House.
Can we knock her down?
Exactly. And finally, we'll talk about last week's release of the Avengers finale and also the big Game of Thrones episode everyone's been talking about.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
There's going to be a lot of spoilers, guys.
All right, spoilers.
All right, I'm your host, Saul, and we'll cover all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. All right. Crazy Ray Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
What is going on out there?
Let's take it away.
All right. Go for it.
All right. First up in Crazy Ray Chronicles, we got Arizona governor will decide whether to legalize nunchucks or not.
Wait. They're not legal now?
Apparently they're not. Like, we have everything else legal here.
Really?
But not nunchucks.
I'm trying to think about the logic. When did it get banned?
Like, it's a weapon. It's a weapon. So are guns.
Guns aren't banned.
Right, and you're not allowed to bring guns into schools?
This is in schools.
Wait, is this in school or just in
so
general?
So in general.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't know that.
So they're illegal because basically what Doug Ducey is saying is instead of figuring out ways that we can save lives with it, we're wasting time on nunchucks.
Is this serious?
Wait,
this can't
I'm
be
serious.
Real.
How many reported cases are there of nunchuck abuse in the state of Arizona?
I can't with this.
When I think of nunchucks, do you guys remember
Ninja
that
Turtles.
Old YouTube viral video of that guy who was doing nunchucks and he's like trying to do flips?
Yeah.
Did you get remember
oh,
that guy?
Oh, no.
I only think of Michelangelo from Ninja Turtles. So unless there's a turtle with a shell,
I find it impressive that he knows it was Michelangelo had the nunchucks because I can't remember all that. Orange.
To me, that's weird.
He was orange.
Donatello
right?
was purple.
You're that right. Is,
oh wow,
that can't be real.
And I'm yeah, gonna, the I'm katana or right? No.
Okay,
oh, sorry. We're
digressing here.
So anyway, Ninja Turtles.
Take it away.
I'd rather Ninja Turtles the shit.
All right. So apparently, Doug Ducey feels that we're wasting our time enforcing nunchuck laws.
So he says the average person can do more damage using a baseball bat than nunchucks.
Which? So wait, we're going to brand.
Oh, okay. So I got this confused. So I thought he was trying to ban it. So he's trying to make it legal. He's like, guys, come on. Which makes sense. Yeah. I didn't even know it was illegal.
Why are we even having this conversation?
Oh, my God.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like,
it is.
Like, we have other important things in this world to deal with.
We need to create a list of stupid things that are illegal and just mark them off. Like, all right, we're done with these.
Nunchucks. Alejandro Cortez.
Okay, I'm going to butcher this poor guy's name. Representative John Kavanaugh?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh. Boom!
Sorry about that.
Yeah, let's do this.
Ding, 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 ding.
He says that they're not dangerous to anybody, and we should really just let kids and adults who want to do martial arts activity legally possess them.
Yeah.
Which I guess he's not totally wrong.
Weird.
I mean, we have like switchblades are legal here.
Yeah.
And guns, you can buy illegally here.
I'm trying to figure out when they got banned. Like, what was going on?
I got to look this up. When nunchucks illegal?
I bet you kids were like, because, all right, remember the karate movies, like, especially Bruce Lee? It was probably during that era that kids were like going around and, you know, knocking themselves out.
But if you think about it, like the whole Karate Kid movies, they never had any nunchucks or anything like that in those movies.
Oh,
it was
man.
You're talking like Bruce Lee and
how do you spell nunchucks?
So,
N-U-N.
So, Representative Jennifer Longdon, a Chandler Democrat who taught martial arts before she was paralyzed from a gunshot wound, said she's a strong advocate for gun control, but sees no reason to restrict nunchucks. I don't think they're linked in any way. I don't believe that we are going to see a sudden spike in use of nunchucks in violent crime.
I don't think anybody knew that
they were illegal. Overall, very benign.
Right. I thought you just buy them at a smoke shop.
Every other like ninja stars and stuff.
You seen them there?
I'm pretty sure I've seen ninja stars at a smoke shop.
No, the nunchucks.
I don't know if I've seen nunchucks before.
As a kid, I knew people that owned them, and apparently it was illegal.
Oh wow!
Yeah. I got pretty good at them, actually.
But you didn't know they were legal when you were.
I had no idea.
I don't think this law was being enforced.
10? I don't know.
Like, can you imagine like walking down the street and the cop sees you and they're like, "Sir,
whoa,
you know
whoa,
what I mean?"
No, the cop would if you did it outside. He would.
If you're just like flinging your nunchuck left and right, probably.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anything like that.
I mean, like, that's... you know, you can get, like, maybe if you had it in like on your back and two things coming out. So I don't know, but
I don't know. This
the things that
are
you know,
illegal, right? There's a list.
That's why you're supposed to know every state law when you go to a different state and the dumb things that you can get arrested for.
Yeah.
Nunchucks is one of them. Well, granted, I never thought of owning nunchucks.
Law here
of, nunchucks.
Oh, owning camels. There's another law here.
Camels?
Yeah.
Well,
in Arizona,
vicious.
Like, first of all, no, there is a law here, something about camels. Like, you can't.
The cigarettes?
No, because I smoke those all the time.
They should outlaw camel toe.
Oh, do you guys know? Speaking of that, do you know they've actually developed underwear that women can buy that accentuates the camel toe?
Excuse me?
Well, it depends on the kind of woman.
Pardon?
Pas de moi? No, seriously.
Rachel needs a pair.
No.
Oh my God.
Do a Google on it.
Hey, that'd become Google a moose knuckle then.
Oh wow. Okay.
Isn't that the guy's one?
Anyway, as we're talking about camel toes.
Movie done. What else you got?
Right. Okay, I'm down a rabbit hole. Hold please. Okay, so the next one, which I thought was pretty cool. So I don't know if I should say again. But a parrot was stolen.
It's parrots. A parrot was stolen. That's as far as I got.
Okay, explain the parrot. Why is the parrot so funny?
So who steals these parrots?
Please.
So,
why are you stealing parrots?
In Brazil.
In Brazil again.
Brazil, what
is going on in Brazil?
Brazil's they're getting overrun by parrots.
Okay, okay.
Apparently.
Take a deep breath and explain why the... Explain why the parrot, the vein's coming out.
What's going on? Oh, God damn it. So this parrot was stolen, shot, and bitten by a snake and lived to tell about it.
Oh, my God. That is horrible.
Was it in Brazil?
Wait, in Brazil. Parrot was stolen, shot, and bitten by a snake. And
he tells.
Lives to tell about it.
What did he
what
say?
What is he telling? He's not telling anything. He's just like, rock, this sucks.
He's like, in context, guys, my friend of mine has a parrot who she taught it how to do the Darth Vader exactly. So that's how he told the story.
I can't write it out. Wait, so wait, let's get back to this.
Get back.
So a parrot in Brazil was shot, bitten by a snake, stolen, and lived to tell about it.
Don't forget he was hit by nunchucks as well.
Yeah, so exactly. What did the parrot say?
He was bad for Facebook.
Okay. So can you please tell me, Rachel?
Rachel's done. And that's the Cray Ray Chronicles.
That's the Cray Ray Chronicles right there.
Okay, what was the question?
What did the parrot say in his story? But you said it lived to talk about it.
God damn it, this one. Okay, so... So, this bird's name is Freddy Krueger.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Can this story get any more weird, right?
So, Freddy Krueger...
One, two, Freddy's coming for you.
...was oddly enough taken from a drug house. in Brazil, and so he got shot in the face beforehand.
In the face?
Well, during the shootout.
In the face.
Oh my God.
This is not real.
It was in a shootout.
This is fake news.
So when they went
to the shootout.
So the cops went for the drug dealers and they were shooting looking.
And they got the bird. Oh man.
So did the bird shit out eggs at him or something in defense?
Lived.
Oh my God.
So then they were like, well, what do we do with this poor little bird? So then they like got him back
to
normal.
They fed it to a snake apparently.
And then they gave it to a zoo. They decided to name him Freddy Krueger because his face was all fucked up.
Wait. Was his name Freddy Krueger when he was in the drug house or was it after?
No, they didn't know the name when he was in the drug house.
Okay, so drug house,
like a one
bird gets shot in the face. They take it to the zoo.
He's got one eye, by the way.
The zoo fix him up and they call him Freddy Krueger because of his face.
Right.
And ..
And so then they put it in the house and then a few burglars came in and they overpowered the zoo security guards, which I can't imagine is super hard. They stole two parrots, one of which Freddy Krueger.
Right.
Poor bird.
I know. Tell me about it.
Dude,
so one of which was Freddy Krueger.
Nightmares about this bird. You know that, right?
I know. Could you imagine Freddy Krueger? Oh, my God. He's gonna come in and like.
He's like, hey, Nelson, no running in the hallway.
Well, well, your superpower being a turkey, ooh, you can fight that parrot.
Ta-da.
The turkeys Ta-da. And now the parrots.
With the little turkey leg.
Wow. This is so, a crazy story.
The bird got away, or the bird got stolen. And so they stole two birds and one container of gasoline. So they overpowered the security guards for that, and then they left. So 4 days later, like the zookeeper's like taking care of everything, and they noticed that Freddy Krueger is back near his cage. He's like sitting near like a tree trunk over there.
He flew back home.
He flew back home.
Home.
So then they realized that he had got bitten by a snake, like a non-poisonous one. Well, no, this was when he got bitten, was when he was out.
The zookeepers determined that he got
after he got, so thankfully the snake wasn't venomous, but the attack left him bloodied and injured. This poor little bird has gone through hell and back.
And he's still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, he's possessed.
So
he,
then
he really
said
is Freddy Krueger.
The zoo's vet. The zoo's vet said that he was a bit of a wild one. And he's currently enjoying a well-deserved rest at the zoo while the gas cylinder and the second parrot remain at large. Jesus. So the second parrot is missing in action.
Somebody was hungry.
If cats have nine lives, this bird just outdid everybody.
Oh my gosh,
right?
This poor little guy.
Jeez, you know this bird is going to die of like something stupid, like a rock is going to drop on him or something like that.
COPD.
Shut up.
Jesus.
You know, you hear stories.
Oh, he has his own Twitter
like
now.
Macaws. I guess
Facebook's going to bad a bunch.
Shut up.
He's too ugly.
He's too dangerous. Ugly. Dangerous. He's still pretty cute. No.
Anyway.
All right. So my last one is one that I'm still having a difficult time believing, but looking at the picture, I know that it's real. A man accidentally swallows an Apple AirPod and it still works after it passes through a system.
Oh, that's impressive.
It was a Taiwanese man. He was stunned to find out that his Apple AirPod worked after he swallowed a device and was forced to dig it out of a toilet.
Brings a whole new meaning to your ass is ringing, bro.
Hey, can you hear me now?
What? So on some level, I wonder who forced him to do it. Yeah, I feel like he was just like, $300. Is it down there?
I don't approve of the forced. I was forced to look through my feces for my AirPod.
So he fell asleep with the AirPods in. And then when he woke up, he could only find one of them. So he was like, blah, blah, blah. So using an iPhone tracking feature, he discovered that the device was in his room. He heard its beeping sound following him around. And then he said, I checked under my blanket, looked around, couldn't find it, then realized the sound was coming from my stomach.
His ass really was ringing.
Oh my God.
Does he still use them? You know how he listens to his shit.
They still worked afterwards. So
you take those back to the Apple store. What is that?
Can I get a refund?
Apple Care. You got to get Apple Care on that shit.
Oh my God, here's an x-ray with it.
Wait, I have a question about this. Okay. Yeah. So you fall asleep and the things are in your ear. How can they go from your ear into your mouth and swallow it? Like, your ear's like a bag.
He was
like,
hungry.
Like, would he just take it out of his ear and just eat it?
Have you ever sleep ate?
No.
What? That's not a thing.
No. It's a thing.
No.
So it's legitimately a thing.
So do you sleep eat?
No, I don't sleep eat, but I wake up in the middle of the night to eat all the time.
So that's kind of like sleep eat?
Kind of, because I'm only part way awake. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know what kind of life this guy's living.
What the heck?
You get ice cream and steak,
peanut butter and jelly.
I don't keep ice cream in my apartment. Are you kidding me? It would be gone in 2 seconds. Especially hot Cheetos. I will eat those until I puke. And I've puked more times from eating too many hot Cheetos than I have from drinking too much.
This is not good. You have a problem.
Yeah. I know I do.
So do we need to put
Christmas,
a lock?
We're all going to chip in and get her some flaming hot.
Wait, do we need to put a lock on your fridge?
Jesus.
Possibly. But hot Cheetos are in there, so I'm okay. Anyways. Whoa, yowza. So it said the battery was still at 41% afterwards.
Okay.
See, this Apple is
I can't deal with this.
They are innovative.
So apparently
why?
Because
you can eat their product and it'll still have a
survive. It's called an apple for a reason.
Oh yeah.
You can eat the fruit.
So it the system didn't even digest it at all.
All the way through. He cleaned it and it still works.
Yeah.
You know, that's not really all that surprising. Plastic is not, most plastics aren't.
They pass through.
Subjected to acids, right? They're neutral
to that. You know, well, like I said, you know, all he listens to now is shit. So.
Boom, boom.
She bangs. She bangs. You got William Hognott's on autoplay.
He was forced into a foul-smelling search, but was able to pick out the device and found
First of all, I would not
forced.
No,
I don't know who's forcing it. The government
look through your head.
But also, the emergency room doctor was stated that because of the plastic shell around the AirPod, the risk of causing him harm in a similar way to swallowing a regular lithium-ion battery was much lower. So I guess because of the plastic, it could have caused a more serious rupture in his intestines.
Yeah, those lithium batteries are dangerous.
Apple makes a good product, I guess.
Hey, you heard it again, guys. You heard it again from Saul's mouth that Apple makes good products.
Yeah, if it survives shit. So.
Should we record this again?
Shit equals shit.
Shit equals shit.
Anyway.
What else is going on?
Ugh. We go from like pulling AirPods out of shit to another shit. Well, Facebook is starting to ban dangerous individuals.
Seriously,
so,
man. Tell me about
this. In a way, I can agree with that, even though it does infringe on free speech, but people that really are, spew hate, maybe, don't need a social media platform.
Well, here's my question, Tim. What do you deem as hate?
Where do you draw that line?
Do you draw the line? Here's the problem.
And why does Facebook feel it's their business?
Then almost every troll on the internet should be banned, because the crap you see people writing on the internet is more probably hateful than somebody saying, I'm an extremist.
You'd get rid of 90% of the internet if you did that.
Facebook is exposing themselves to a lot of lawsuits right now when they do this stuff, because they have to ask themselves this question: do you want to be regulated as like utility companies are? In other words, for example, I pay my phone bill, right? AT&T is not accountable or responsible for the conversations that I have on that phone. Now, if AT&T comes out and says, "Hey, you know what? You are a hate group, and I'm going to ban you from using my service." Wait, hear me out. Then AT&T is saying that they're responsible for what kind of conversations people are having on the phone. Facebook is kind of doing the same thing. They're saying, "Hey, you know what? We're going to regulate these hate groups from being able to expose their ideas." The problem with that is that they're going to expose themselves to some lawsuits, because then people are going to say, "Well, you allow this and you ban this," which means, Facebook, that now you support these ideas. They are setting themselves up to fail in court. I'm telling
you.
You know why they won't?
Let me explain why they won't. So when you first sign up for Facebook, you have that like 500-page document that you say agree to.
Right.
But nobody reads because we're not lawyers. But that stuff is in there. Okay. If you violate certain things of this.
I know what you're saying. But can you imagine the manpower that's going to be required for them to go then and filter out every single user who says something hateful? Because that's what they're eventually going to do. Yeah. If they say, "Hey, this is our policy and we're going to enforce it," and then I come out, or these group, because these people are going to go and sue Facebook, and they're going to say, "Look, here's the deal. Great, you want to be regulated like a utility company? Then you cannot ban people. But the second that you start banning people, now you're saying that you are accountable for the content that's out there. And now what kind of manpower is going to be required to go out and look for every single person that says something that Facebook deems hateful?"
But
as long as that stock makes 200 in the next like week or two, so I could sell it before they get sued, I'm good. You know what I mean?
But also, like, how is social media any different than regular media? If you say something without like allegedly, or it's all for the public, so therefore you kind of have to cover your ass on some level. Yeah. Like Wendy Williams, our Lord and Savior.
Oh my God, stop it. Stop it.
I just threw up. What? I just swallowed an AirPod. What happened?
She always has to say allegedly, because if she even talks about anybody on any level, whether it's like positive or negative, she always has to say allegedly because of legal.
Right.
Like problems. So how are we supposed to be held at any different than her if it's all just some form of media?
Well, here's the deal. Do you have private conversations with people?
Yeah, I do.
Right. And so that's the thing. Like, you have private conversations on the phone. The phone company does not come out and regulate what you say.
Yeah.
If you say certain keywords,
do you understand what groups are?
Yeah.
Right. If I create a Facebook group, people join this group. It's not public.
Right. They're not banning groups. They're not banning groups.
They did.
In the article I'm reading, it's talking about individuals.
No,
like,
no. Read further, dude.
Right.
They're banning.
There's probably multiple.
It says right here, Facebook has banned anti-Islamic UK groups such as
these are Facebook groups. Yes. And that's a danger, dude, because those are private conversations that are being had, because in order to be in that group, you have to join.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that is the issue. This is dangerous, dude. And they're setting themselves up for failure.
Well, they're setting themselves, like you said, they're setting themselves up for a bad precedent where you're making a bold statement that we're not going to allow this. Well, there's, you know, you've hit the very tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. and there's a boatload more of it that you're going to have to be held right. accountable for.
Well, that's the problem.
By making this grand statement.
They're going to get into the situation where they're not going to be able to regulate it.
But
they're just going to require too much manpower to go find every single group that does this.
Right. But then everybody, Google does their exactly. whitelist thing. Facebook
all do that.
There's a, no matter what, you are damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you don't,
no.
and something happens, no. you can get sued from this side and get pressure
You're not damned if you don't.
If you don't, you're in a much better place because you're not getting involved.
Exactly.
You're letting people express
because they're an American-based corporation. All these social media companies are American-based corporations.
Think about it, now that they fall under other
Why
does AT&T not suffer that problem, knowing damn well that there are drug dealers that use their service?
They can,
doing illegal shit,
right? But they can be subpoenaed by law,
great,
to get those conversations.
Great, but they're not held accountable for what happens on their medium. AT&T is not held accountable for the conversations that happen on their medium. They're not,
right?
Because that's a one to one. This is no one to many.
I can have a teleconference on my phone, and we can talk about the most racist shit that we want to talk about. AT&T is not held accountable for that.
I need a lawyer. I want a lawyer. I need to find somebody to When I say I want to be able to explain why they can do this based on if what their user agreement says. If they say if you're deemed X, Y, and Z in that 500-page thing that nobody reads because I don't plan on doing anything stupid.
Nobody reads this.
Right, but they can do that, and that's their saving grace going, right. You see our user acceptance policy?
So
broke that with these groups because you're spewing an act that's bad, right?
Well, I don't think anyone's arguing whether or not Facebook has the right to do it. The question is, should they be? Because you're opening Pandora's box, right? You're trying to you think you're doing the right thing by doing one thing, and when in reality you're creating this huge black hole.
Right. If they weren't,
that could bring the whole company down.
If they weren't publicly traded, this wouldn't be an issue.
Look,
that's why.
Let's look at the characters that they've banned, Tim. And that's Farrakhan.
They banned Farrakhan.
Okay.
Alex Jones.
Okay. And why was Alex Jones being banned?
Because he's a known racist. He's a known quote unquote racist.
What's wrong with being a racist? I'm talking about legally. I'm not morally. You're an idiot.
You're an ass.
Okay. But legally, anybody in this country can be a racist. So being racist is not to me. Again, you are diving into situations, and then who's to deem what your ideas are racist? That's the dangerous ground we're covering right now. I just see this as they're gonna get sued, dude. Look, one of the characters that was mentioned in that article is Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yep.
Now I followed Milo Yiannopoulos for the longest time. Milo Yiannopoulos is labeled as a right-wing, alt-right guy, racist, or whatever. They call him a white supremacist. You know what the reality is? Is that Milo is a gay man who's married to a black guy. And it goes
against white supremacy.
Exactly. You think
check all those boxes.
so again, the whole them banning Louis Farrakhan, whatever his name is.
Let's go with Louis Farrakhan.
So actually, Louis Farrakhan, that's them being able to say, we banned a spectrum. But the reality is it's one guy on this side and like 20 guys from this other side. It's unbalanced.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, what he got banned for was, in his words, spewing anti-Semitic remarks.
Who?
Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah. I won't defend this guy. But again, I think we should defend his ability to be able to speak.
His right to say what he wants to say.
Unfortunately, yes. In this country, because
unless he says, everybody take arms and go kill these type of people, then I'm all for, you can't do this.
Yeah.
But if he says, hey, white people are this and white people are that, you know what I mean, dude? You can have your stupid ideas.
I mean, that's the freedom of speech is a very.
It's not though.
It's different now in this day and age because of the platforms we have.
It's not though. Because,
no, but I'm saying, what is
the arena of ideas? Bad ideas will fail.
Right, but what I'm saying is, with the freedom of speech, you should never ban it. But where does it go to where somebody's like, boom, you're allowed to have freedom of speech unless you present clear and present danger. If you're
conspiracy.
Well, even that, no, but even hate remarks, they can say you're almost inciting a riot because you're riling people up and getting people charged up to go do something stupid.
So I'll tell you a lot of the reasons
interpretation
that
of,
they mentioned in those articles is has nothing to do. So they'll say hate, but you know what it has to do with is what they deem as fake or groups that propagate fake news is what they're calling it. But it's not. That is your opinion, Facebook. Your opinion is that you don't agree with this idea and therefore it's fake news. And then you want to kind of, what is that called? You know, rein that type of news in. But that's what you don't agree with, Facebook. And so that's the dangerous ground that Facebook is getting into. I guarantee you there's going to be a bunch of lawsuits going and they may end up losing because of that, because they cannot apply this equally across all users.
Well, even what was it? A couple, I think it was last week or the week before, the CEO of Twitter was in the White House talking to Trump. And Trump kind of went off on him and was like, yo, some of my tweets have been deleted.
Right.
And he kind of said, yeah, it was a little too extreme for us. So they had a private, it was open, but I think it was also some of it behind closed doors. And then he also talked about, hey, I lost a lot of users. And then they go, everybody lost users because there's a lot. We do try to clean up fake accounts, right? So it's like they're trying to keep things as pure as possible, but I don't think people realize that these platforms were going to get turned into what it was. Facebook was never meant to be this, and it got turned into it. It was meant for colleges, and then it got turned into this, you know, take over the world type stuff. And I don't think they...
The problem is that the amount of ground that Facebook has. In other words, Facebook owns what? Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. They own a big chunk of what today we consider the forum where people express their ideas. And now when you dominate it, you're essentially infringing on people's freedoms to be able to express themselves because you are the big kid in the block.
So check this out. So remember this. Facebook is global. So you're dealing with global laws. So in this country, freedom of speech. In other places,
fine.
They might say, we want that shit out because we don't agree with it. So now you're
fine. Filter it from those countries. Why from here?
As their user agreement states, right, they have the right to do those sort of things. And if you're in a country that bans that particular subject or whatever criteria that they're calling out, that's fine. You're justified legally in doing that. But to just arbitrarily have someone in your back office who's deciding that this person is
and that's what's happening.
Dangerous person.
So has anybody looked to see if any of these people, I'm sure they have podcasts and other things, have they've ever been kicked off radio for being extreme? I'm sure there's been cases where people have been kicked off.
Yeah, Crowder was just kicked off of YouTube.
Yeah.
So Amazon did it.
And Stephen Crowder is a guy that I follow that I don't even consider extreme. He's
right. But it's happening all over. So it's either you're trying to censor.
In my opinion, that's the real collusion, that these social media giants collude amongst each other to ban conservative ideas. And that's dangerous.
Yeah, and Farrakhan's not conservative. He's completely opposite of conservative.
One guy out of
But there's a lot 40. Of them.
No, name them, Tim.
I'm just saying there's other people like him. But you know what I mean? He's probably the most famous one that got kicked off.
And Facebook right now, because of the way that you're talking, Facebook accomplished what they were going for, which is, oh, well, they banned Louis Farrakhan, therefore they're applying it evenly. But they're not. This whole...
They gave five names.
And the rest of them are conservative. So that's what I'm telling you. I follow this. And so they hook, line, and sinker, dude. They said, okay, look, we banned Louis Farrakhan, therefore, we can continue banning these people because now we can show that we're not biased.
Yeah, the token, exactly. The token right or the token left side.
Exactly. And it's fake, dude. It's fake.
Yeah.
Anyway, I
got a quick question for you. Do you guys feel that if Facebook and YouTube continue down these roads, do you think that there will be other social media platforms that show up that don't ban it? And
there are, they're coming out. Look, that's the beauty about the internet. And because no one kid will remain the biggest one. Look, MySpace, look at all these other mediums at Yahoo, all these big giants that met their demise because whether they didn't adapt or they didn't, you know what I mean,
didn't
to the
see
times.
What was coming.
And so Facebook is shooting themselves in the foot, dude. I mean, they're trying to appease their radical groups who complain about any idea that they don't like, and therefore Facebook is like, okay, well, we got
to. So to be honest with you, so this kind of ties into the next topic. Let me hit you with this one.
Go for it.
Could Mark Zuckerberg, he's trying to be the hero in this world, in this world story of trying to eliminate from every side and try to help create a better world. And in his mind, maybe he's the hero in his own story for this.
But doesn't everybody think that about themselves with everything?
So me and Tim last weekend got into a conversation.
Drunk conversation that
we felt might be interesting to bring up on the show and see if we can branch out on all these different topics. So last weekend was the release of the final episode of the Avengers saga in the Marvel Universe, Endgame, right? And it was also the same weekend that Game of Thrones aired the long-awaited battle between the humans in Westeros and the Lord of the Dead, the Night King. All right, so both episodes were done very well, and this is something that we can talk about. There were many things that happened to some of the key characters. And again, Jeremy, I'm sorry, but a lot of things that happened to the key characters in both of those shows, and many fans are probably still in shock about what happened. All right, so... and in fact, after the show, when Game of Thrones ended, Tim hits me up and he's like, bro, I need a drink.
it was the most emotional weekend
an emotional roller coaster we both experienced after watching both of these films. So in our discussion, we realized that there is a lot of commonality among the movies in that the heroes that are being portrayed seem to share certain characteristics. And so we started to correlate that to other, we started to correlate this to other previous heroes in movies that we've seen. And it brings up the topic that we want to discuss. And that is the idea of archetypes, right? So the term archetypes was coined by a clinical psychiatrist by the name of Carl Jung. And without getting too much into the weeds on the subject, there is a certain branch of this idea that me and Tim find very interesting. So archetypes essentially describes the commonality of themes and stories and myths across continents and across time periods. Okay. So for example, let's look at the hero or the archetypical hero. This would be someone that has some unusual circumstances at birth or origin, faces events in their life that temporarily set them back, then either something or someone calls them to greatness and they go through this, through some learning process. And after that preparation, they have a final face-off against their rival or nemesis or whatever certain evil that needs to be destroyed. In the end, they either become victorious or die an honorable death. This common theme is found in many stories. So as me and Tim's discussion progressed that night, and yes, the drinks kept coming
and the tears started almost coming out,
we started to unravel this common theme among many of the heroes in the movies we watch. For example, Lord of the Rings, with Frodo, Dark Knight, Gladiator, Braveheart, all these, and even in some Greek mythology, and then even in the Bible. Okay, so for those that haven't seen either Endgame or Game of Thrones, FYI, a ton of spoilers are coming up. So you might want to turn off the podcast, or you might.
I'm out.
Okay, bye.
In three. Have you either of you guys seen any of those?
I've seen. We saw Endgame because I knew we were going to talk about it.
Okay.
So
right. So
not. So real quick, because I know Rachel is the big comic book person.
Right.
Is this something you would rather kind of go la 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 to, or you're at the point where you
don't care?
You're just at that point in comic. You're just
not
like
a big Marvel person to begin with, and I was kind of like I was holding out to watch it with one of my friends, and they went and watched it. No, you know who my friend is.
Well. Sorry, we go
okay.
We don't
Captain
know,
Guilty over here.
What up, dude? I'm giving you a shout out without throwing your name out there.
Shut the fuck up.
All right, so Jeremy, I do have some spoilers on Game of Thrones.
We have to.
Okay. That's fine.
But I'm sorry that I'm going
to
do this,
I
but
want you
if
know,
you
want
to cover
now.
Your ears or you want to leave the room.
No, I'll take one for the team.
So in the show Game of Thrones, Jon Snow is betrayed by his followers. He gets killed and then he comes back to life. And that is very reminiscent of the story of Christ, if for those of you who haven't heard it. So Christ is betrayed by Judas and then he's denied by all his disciples. And then he's sentenced to death and then hung on a cross and then is raised back from the dead on the third day. He ultimately serves the purpose of saving humanity from punishment of death, right? And this is essentially the John story. When John comes back from the dead, he leads an army of men to fight against the dead or death. We also see this pattern in The Dark Knight. Bruce Wayne is called the Dark Knight because he takes on the burden or the blame from Harvey Dent. And the ultimate goal is that the city could see that there is goodness and that goodness should prevail. So then the Dark Knight is blamed for this, and so he's persecuted, basically. And again, that is the story of Christ. So this overlapping commonality in the hero stories we've been telling each other for a long time, maybe a millennia, could be offering us a glimpse into the deeper layers of the human psyche that we yet don't fully comprehend. So it begs the question, do we tell these types of stories because it's good entertainment, or is there an underlying purpose or function in the human psyche that is the main engine which compels us to perpetuate these inner truths about ourselves? So that, again, is my opening monologue, and I want to talk about how all these stories kind of share the same thing. And again, me and Tim, we were talking about like even Greek mythology. You know, you hear a lot of the Greek heroes, and they have these
Hercules
or Perseus, right? Go ahead.
So I want to add to your monologue, right? Yeah. So in the whole scheme of painting the picture of talking about Jon Snow and Dark Knight and everything, part of this guy Jordan Peterson, who is a
clinical psychologist
out in Toronto, he's in a school. As part of his class, he has this thing. It's a chart. It's called the Hero's Journey, right? And it ties right into and it explains in this whole wheel. And I'm just going to read you. There's three acts. Act one, separation, right? So when you look at your characters in whatever story it is, they have some kind of, you know, separation from what it is. Like, so you look at Jon Snow in Game of Thrones. He was the bastard son of Ned Stark,
right?
The most honorable guy and everything. And from day one, when he was brought home, Ned's wife hated him.
Right.
And up until the day you see in the movie when he's leaving to go to the Night's Watch, it was like she didn't even say goodbye. Like she just looked at him and hated him from day one because it was Ned's bastard, which we find out later on. There's a whole nother story to that. So now he's going on his journey. He separates from everybody. And now he's going to the Night's Watch, you know, and then act two is the supreme ordeal, right? So that's kind of like he's going through his trials and tribulations of the story. He's ups and downs, and they hated him at the wall because he grew up in Winterfell and he had great swords. He knew how to fight, and he kind of wasn't really the typical person of the Night's Watch,
right?
And then he gets betrayed when he's trying to help, you know, after all this stuff with White Walkers and everything. They kill him. They bring back to life, like you said, right? But then act three is unification. Okay. Now, he wound up unifying the whole seven realms, basically, except for one area, to go fight this battle that's bigger than kingdoms and thrones and everything. So it's kind of interesting how you can look at this chart called the Heroes, and you can apply it to anything. You can apply it to any movie you see that has that.
What's interesting about the Jon
Snow, even in a love story,
the Jon Snow story,
that shit happens.
Is that, like you said, right? He's born a bastard son, or he's born in these circumstances that are kind of different from what normal people go through, right? Which is the same thing that happened in the Christ story. They're born in situations that are now. The point that I want to get across is that, and what I want to dive into is, do you guys think that there is something underlying that is deeper within us? Maybe it's evolutionary, or maybe it's something that is shared across all humans that we don't yet know about.
Well, I'm assuming that when I went to school, we discussed the whole process of writing a story, right? And we're taught that, and I'm assuming that probably started with the ancient Greeks. and was taught from that point on.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with it actually has to do with evolution. So back when there was Neanderthals and there was Homo sapiens were basically the ones that were smarter and were able to kind of manipulate the Neanderthals, who were basically like the brutes. Mm-hmm. Because of this, the Neanderthals had more of a familial pack, so they didn't really have a tribe.
Right.
The Homo sapiens had an actual tribe. Therefore, there is going to be a leader of the tribe.
Right.
The idealistic view of everybody wants to be like the most well-liked and the most powerful and the head of the tribe is just innate in our genes. So right. Therefore, I think it's something that it's like, oh, these are these idealistic stories of people sacrificing themselves and people overcoming adversity. And it's almost like it speaks to our inner instincts where yes. It's we all want to be that person where it's like we would give anything for something that we believe in. And in reality, there's only there's a finite amount of people that are actually willing to do that. And I think it just speaks to everybody that wishes that they could be that person. And they see like this, like Peter Parker, beautiful example. Mm-hmm. He came from literally being adopted by his aunt and uncle, and then his
parents died.
Parents died, aunt dies, like basically, or uncle died. Everything happens, and he still overcomes this and still maintains his sanity and still maintains being a good person, as opposed to like with the Joker in the Killing Joke. He's like, he was in the Killing Joke, he's basically, and spoiler alert, of course, he's a comedian that owes a debt to the mob. So then he goes and they tell him to do something, and it's kind of obscure. And
by the way, Batman. Hopefully the Joaquin movie covers this.
Oh, I really hope it does, because it's such a good story.
Anyways, go ahead.
Ah, sorry. Freaking Alan Moore is my dude. So he basically.
It's her dude.
Dude. We have the same birthday, so we're like one of the same.
Damn, connected. I mean,
that's all they're
crazy. So he goes to perform this job because he has a wife at home that's pregnant and he can't provide for her, and he's trying to like struggle to get by. And then he gets knocked into a vat of chemicals by Batman because he's trying to stop the mob from doing like a drug dealer, like what I can't remember exactly what. Mm-hmm. And when he comes out, he's like, his skin is tinted white. His hair is dyed green. Mm. His lips are red. And he's like, what the heck happened? So he goes home and he realizes that his wife, who was pregnant, was murdered. And they set his apartment complex on fire because he wasn't able to do what he was told to do. So then at that point, he kind of snaps and he's like, you know, there's one thing about, he was like the past tense. Like there's a reason why it's called tense. Because it's usually things that you don't want to think about. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and when you come to that point where all of your memories are screaming at you and they're attacking you and all you can think about is all the bad things that have happened to you, just remember that there is an escape, and the escape is insanity. Like you can just step out that door and forget about all those horrible things that had happened to you.
One of the things that the Joker in the Dark Knight that he was adamant about was, he was adamant about showing that most people like to, whether you look at a bad guy or some businessman, it's always the struggle for control, mm-hmm. and to build some type of structure for something. Whereas Joker comes in and he's like, I'm here to show that any attempt that we make at this type of control is wasted and it's unnecessary. And so that's his mission in life, is to prove that all this is for nothing.
But also, control makes you valuable. If you're in control of everything and nobody else knows how to do what you can do, you're valuable. You can't get rid of that person, because then it would have to go through a whole learning curve and you'd kind of set yourself back. And I feel like a lot of people do that in most companies as well, where they're like, I don't want to teach anybody what I can do, because then what makes me different?
Right.
And it's almost the same as like with the hero thing, where it's like, well, this person is different. And in reality, a lot of people kind of a lot of people kind of conform to like a sheep herd mentality, where instead of maintaining their own individualism, they want to become whatever is going to get them to the top. Hmm. And so it's hard to find that fine line of, well, am I actually truly being myself, or am I just following what everybody else really wants so, me
well,
to do.
I mean, I think and the herd mentality is instinctual. It's even it's in us. It's innate because when you leave the herd, you if you look at it in an evolutionary standpoint, you know, it was when, or even now, right? You see a gazelle, or you see anything. They look at the stragglers. The lion looks at the straggler and says, "Oh,
predator."
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get this weak one, the one that's not with the herd.
Yeah.
So it's a safety mechanism that we all have built in to be able to survive it, that herd mentality. So we can say, well, you know what? Maybe the herd mentality is not good, but it is instinctual to a certain extent because sometimes following the herd is your best bet because you mix in with the blob.
Absolutely. But then you still always want your own individualism. So then it's like a messed up dichotomy.
It's a constant battle. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, when you think about it, when you look at everything we've been talking about with all these characters, whether it's in the Bible, the Joker, Batman, any of these stories, the key thing to all these stories is at the end of the day is hope.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Right.
All this whole story about the journey doesn't matter if it's you're, like you said, a good guy or bad guy, but it's there's always they're looking for hope, right? When you say, like, oh, the Joker snapped, you know, when he saw it all, he was looking for hope he was looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, now I gotta go try to fix it all because I gotta reset it, right? Yeah. He's looking for hope, looking for an answer. We cheer for the good guys, you know, and they go through all that adversity for a reason. Right? They take you on this roller coaster, right? So at the end, when you get to that ending and you're in that fight scene or at the end of that love story and the guy gets the girl or he's about to kill, and it's just like you're rooting for him, right? Mm-hmm. Even though we all like to say, screw that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you kind of want that for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want hope. And it's funny, you know, as I'm reading, you know, the side stuff of what Jordan Peterson's goal is with all this, right? When he teaches it. Let me read this. Jordan Peterson's goal is to strengthen the individual. Life contains tragedy and evil. The hero's journey justifies the burden of being by pursuing truth, making order out of chaos. Mm. The alternative is deceiving yourself with ideology and nihilism so that you take yourself seriously, know the monster within you, and become a responsible person with an integrated character. That is probably one of the most, like, that's like probably one of the strongest things that you can, it doesn't matter.
I think that's his ultimate message. And I've been to some of his talks that he,
it was powerful.
One of his talks that he had. Well, so going back to this whole idea, are the stories that we tell ourselves something that we find interesting or is it something, is it a layer below our conscience? In other words, is it at a subconscious level? So if we look at it from an evolutionary standpoint, right, what was the first part of the brain that evolved? It's the stem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the stem controls a lot of our instincts, a lot of our, you know, our heartbeat. In other words, you're not conscious about the rate that your heart is beating. All this shit happens and you're not even aware of it. But it's happening and your brain is controlling all of it. So there are certain stories or certain layers of our psyche, and I believe these stories are somewhere in that layer that have a purpose. And what's that purpose? You mentioned that whole herd mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is in that layer
because
it is because we don't know. In other words, I was hearing this that kids at I think 6 months will look at a snake and will be frightened by it, never being exposed to a snake. In other words, it's instinctual to be to react to something, and they don't even know about it.
Yeah.
Here's another cool thing that I was researching this is that there are some blind people that will have a conversation with you, and their eyes are able to perceive your facial expressions even though they can't see it.
Daredevil. Mm-hmm.
Think about that concept. In other words, they can't see your facial expressions, but their eyes are able to perceive it and they're able to interpret it, not knowing that they are that they're doing this. And it's at a different layer in the brain.
Yeah, functionality. It's the same as like when you answer, like if I mean, I used to work at a job where I would like answer phones. So like if I answered the phone and I was smiling and I'd be like, hey, welcome to How can I help you? As opposed to be like, hey, welcome to How can I, like, you can tell like when somebody's smiling or not based on the way that they're speaking.
No, but I'm talking about if they're standing in front of you, their eyes are able to perceive your facial expressions and they don't even know it. Mm-hmm. And so again, I think there's
you're thinking that maybe there's a different part of the brain that handles that function versus the colors that you're seeing.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, we are you know, for the listeners, sensory. We're barely scraping at this idea. You know, when we talk about archetypical characters, these are things that are instinctually functions that in other words, when a kid is born, yes, a certain portion of his character is developed by who raises him. But the mom is not teaching him at what rate to beat his heart, right? Mm-hmm. It's not. All that stuff is instinctual. All that stuff happens at a different layer. And again, there are certain things that we are drawn to, stories that we're drawn to, that I don't think it's all based on culture. I think because this transcends culture, it transcends periods of time, it transcends a lot of things, and there's this commonality of the same story being told over and over again. And I think there is some biological, some evolutionary reason for this that I don't think we've been able to.
I think a lot of it still comes down to hope. I mean, because there was a video, I forget which one of you guys posted the link to it, that kind of explains this at a very simple level. It was a video. It starts off with, you know, we talking about, it spans different cultures and everything, but it starts off with almost like a caveman, basically. Yeah. And they're like, the story is he's out hunting and he comes up to a bear or something like that. And his first instinct is
freeze.
Don't move. Yeah. And then it's like, all right, by freezing, the bear might not notice me, right? And then so that same concept from that story that was used to be told, why that guy survived, mm-hmm. now they break it over to Lord of the Rings.
They've told stories about
this
kind of envelop this idea of freezing when danger presents itself.
Right, but part of me feels that that's like the hope, because most people know if I run into a bear, stopping a lot of times probably ain't gonna work.
But what if
he's gonna eat me? He's hungry.
A characteristic that could be explained by like Darwinism, like because you survived that bear attack, that whatever what instinctually made you think, oh, I need to stop here, was just a gene that was passed on to whatever kid you had. And therefore, because you lived longer, more and more kids had that same response. And if you're in a tribe setting again, if there was one person who's always willing to put themselves out there to save the herd, of course, more people are going to want to reproduce with them, because then they're, this is the alpha. Right. So like, is it like an alpha aspect? Is everybody wants to kind of be one? And even though like everybody has their own adversity, if we were to think, I'm just going to always deal with this for the rest of my life, we would all kill ourselves. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you'd be like, if I'm just going to have to deal with this exact same stuff that I've been dealing with and I have no hope that I can ever get past it. So on some level, it is hope as well. Why am I going to continue to try?
So if we take that a little bit further, right, from an evolutionary standpoint, and we look at certain things that happen that or maybe deliberate or maybe even accidental. So what do I mean by that? So if we look at our genetic mutations that happened throughout all long mm-hmm. periods of time, some of them were mutations that were like, oh my God, this is weird, right?
Eyebrows even.
Or you didn't fear as much certain things, right? And you had a certain amount of courage, but that's only because you didn't have that genetic composition, and mm-hmm. there was a mutation there that allowed you to be less prone to fear, and this made you attractive, and therefore you are now able to breed and continue this genetic mutation that has now propagated itself across your descendants, mm-hmm. which made them less fearful or more courageous, depending on how you look at it, and thereby allowing your genes to dominate. Therefore, on that genetic mutation, we now have a good quality by which we can insert some type of code that has a story. And that story is the story of the courageous archetypical hero.
So let me ask you this. Yep. So let me ask you this. And in those situations where when you're watching a movie or a show and it's getting to the point where it's, you know, the outcome, mm-hmm. right? You just, there might be some twist and turn
but
on how it's going
to enjoy it.
Right. But let me ask you this, crazy. Let me throw this one out to you. How do you feel when they go against that? Where they bring you up all the way to the top, you're like, oh, he's about to win, you're at the peak, mm-hmm. and then boom, guy dies. End of story. You know what I mean? And
it's a record scratch.
Right. It goes against this whole where the hero actually dies, not by his own doing, where that's where I loved, we could talk about this one because we've all seen it. That's where I'm going to go back to Infinity Wars. At the end of that movie.
You're talking about Endgame.
No, Infinity Wars.
Okay.
The first one.
Oh, you're right.
So the way they ended that one wasn't the typical heroic story.
No.
The villain won. Mm-hmm. And when you left that movie, I remember I was laughing. I was like, wow.
I had hope.
They just, because you knew you have to set up for the second one, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But,
I had hope.
But the way they ended it, it wasn't just like they ended in the middle of a fight. Like, dude won. Half the world vanished. The bad guy won. And the emotion that I saw in that theater, people were crying. Yeah. I mean, I was like, these guys just did in my mind, they did one of the best cinematic endings because of the fact that...
Hold on. Because think about it. Okay, now, you're talking about, we knew that there was going to be a sequel.
Right.
Right. Pause. Now, this story has played itself out before.
Yeah.
Talk about the biggest cliffhanger, and I know you guys aren't religious, but talk about Christ dies and his fans are like, what the heck?
You're totally
right. This just ends here. Yeah. They didn't know. There was no, there's a sequel coming. Yeah. But guess what? 3 days later, he comes back.
I know.
And again, it's that same story that repeats itself. It's like, oh my God.
Why I'm always going to go back to
Hulk. I want to hear what Jeremy says.
Yeah. So back to your Infinity Wars. We all knew that there was going to be more, right? Half the characters died, but the other half still survived. So we knew that they were going to try something.
Right.
How many movies out there where you actually the main character dies and you're like, you know what, this is actually over? You think to yourself,
I'm trying
this
to think of one.
Over.
Can you guys think of one?
There's got to be at least one or two out there, but
yeah, I know there is because
this makes the point is that they're not memorable. And I'll tell you why.
Sopranos. Look at The Sopranos.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
The way The Sopranos ended.
And how did you feel about the ending?
But it was uncertain.
I was so mad.
Thank you.
I was so mad.
It was the biggest. So the whole reason.
I'm still mad about that ending. It just fade to black.
There's a go.
Is because it causes an amygdala response.
Yeah.
Well, wait.
It's an emotional stimuli that causes fight or flight. Therefore, people have their adrenaline that are raised. And so either they're angry or they're whatever. But it basically puts you into a fight or flight stance.
So I didn't watch Sopranos, but I have heard the ending. But basically, you had mentioned it goes to black. You don't know what happens. It's implied that he's, spoiler alert, shot in the restaurant, right? Uh-huh. But you don't see that, so you don't know.
Oh, so there is that.
Yeah, that's that. I hate
that. That's not a definitive. He's dead.
So it's a little
he's not
ambiguous.
Coming back.
That you don't know.
This is over. Yeah. There, you don't see that in shows.
So they leave
because
it.
They're not following this.
They leave it to the viewer to make their conclusion. The
worst ending I've ever seen because I didn't get my ending.
But see, I guarantee you, if Infinity Wars had ended and they said this is a final film, I guarantee you people would have been throwing popcorn all over the place. They would have been left at
the end. I would have been one of the happiest customers.
But again, if you look at the comic books, pretty much everybody's dead now.
Yeah.
Thor is dead. Iron Man's dead. Captain America's dead.
Big spoiler alert over here.
Come on.
No one's going to read the movies. Thanks.
Whatever. But they all get replaced.
The movies.
Because they need to have a new generation. It's no longer relatable. If you stick with the exact same hair and he keeps on coming up against the exact same crap, beating it, and he's like, everything's great. I'm going to go back to home. And then all of a sudden, oh, there's another villain. Oh, I beat him. And now I'm going to go back home. Right. And if you just keep on repeating it, people are going to be like, well, this is the exact same thing that's just regurgitated back at me.
So I'm going to relate this whole thing to something that you guys are going to laugh at me about, but I don't give a shit.
Go for it.
I've always been and still am a very avid wrestling fan, right? I've always been into this right here is 100% is wrestling. This Absolutely. Is what this is when they talk about the mystique of wrestling and actually looking at this and reading the whole thing. This is actually how wrestling was built, because they go through this whole hero's journey, right? And when you talk about when you see, how many times have you seen the ending from a movie? No. But how many times have I seen as a kid mm-hmm. growing up, even still now, but now I'm just like, whatever.
You're a hero.
But you see it to where you think that, you know, dude's going to win and then he loses. I mean, take it back even 30 years ago when it wasn't in its peak, but where the mystique of wrestling was still like good guys and where like if you were a heel, you didn't do anything.
Let me ask you, I have a question because I don't follow wrestling. Yeah, how many of those wrestlers, when they lost, left?
None of them. They just came back the next week and exactly. won
but,
again.
And that's the point I'm trying to get at.
But the hero story is, so the good guy is always chasing the bad guy for the big payoff. So you will sometimes, you know, they've set up stories, their plots to be a full year to where that guy is chasing and he faces every piece of this pie. And then at the end, at the biggest show of them all, where they get everybody invested with all the money, the ticket, mm-hmm. he gets the payoff. He gets the win. The big moment. They call it, in WWE, they call it the WrestleMania moment, right? Where the guy goes through all this and he gets the big, the big win, or she gets the big win. And, in front of 100,000 people, everybody's screaming, millions of people on TV.
It's all scripted, right?
Right, but so is a movie. But it follows the same.
To Saul and I's point, they just come back the next season and do it again, right?
Let's think about The Dark Knight. Let's go to that episode when they're both hanging upside down, right? And then what's his name? Joker tells him, because he's expecting the people to blow up the boats, and it doesn't happen, right? So that's the transition of the story that is like, oh, here comes the good ending. Right. Imagine if it had ended right then and there and the boat blows up and then Batman's left. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, but there's but remember, Batman came back. So at the end of that movie, so now remember, there was a whole nother scene to where now you got the Harvey Dent situation.
Right.
So you think, all right, the good one here, mm-hmm. happy ending.
Right.
Now you see him with the kid. Now Batman says, they kill him, whatever. Right. Harvey Dent dies. But then he tells Gordon and he's like, he's the hero.
Blame it on me.
Yeah. So now he's on the run. Yeah. So he disappears. And then it takes Bane in the next story because he goes into hiding. Remember, he goes into hiding and then Bane pulls him out, breaks him, and then he rises back up.
Same story.
But that's what I'm saying.
Just reiterate.
The guy does come back in the story. So Batman did come back. You know what I mean?
Well, Ray.
What about sports? Sports is a crapshoot. You always vote for,
scripted.
This team. Well, yeah, it's unscripted, but how is that any different? Like,
because
you never know who's
going to
win, because it always causes that amygdala response. So that's how you always have people that are coming in, because there's always next year. Right. So same with heroes. Oh, look at Tom Brady. A lot of people consider him a hero. Like, he came from he wasn't even a first round draft pick
one of the last rounds.
Exactly. And he rose up and became literally one of the, I think he has the most Super Bowl.
That probably played into, it's that chip on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Right? That plays into them becoming that person. So that's why I always say, and I'm going to go off on a tangent, but that's why I always say, struggle is a good thing.
Yeah.
Challenges in life are a good thing. It is what helps us grow. It is what helps us learn from this and be able to overcome it and be better at it. When there are no challenges in life, that you don't grow from that.
You could take it to, even though we just talked about comic books, right?
Yeah.
So you can take it to look at Bruce Wayne and Tony Stark, right? They had the world by the balls, billionaires, all this money, right? But what did they have? What did they both have in common? Their parents were taken from them, right? So Bruce Wayne turned around and said, I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to go... in that story in The Dark Knight in the beginning, he goes, acts like a poor guy, and he goes through that struggle and goes through the League of Shadows and all that. But the guy's still a billionaire, right? But he went through the struggle to build himself. Mm-hmm. Tony Stark, everything was good. He got blown up. He's in a cave. Changes his whole mindset. So everybody in all these stories have this Doctor Strange. Boom. Superman.
It's people that are finding holes in society and trying to fill them. The same as like I've talked about before, like my sister with diabetes. When I realized this 13-year-old girl just got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and she can't get in with the endocrinologist for a year.
Ooh.
One full year. And I was like, what's wrong with the medical system where there's so few of them and it's so difficult to get in and get treated by one. What's wrong with it? Therefore, I decided, me as somebody that was unaffected, I was just the younger sister. I decided, oh, I want to go become that because I want to be the person that's going to be able to fix it, or at least try to fix it, or at least contribute to it and try to make it easier for people. And granted, I'm not an endocrinology. On some level, I am. On some level, I'm not. But I saw a hole and I was like, I need to go fix that. As opposed to a lot of people today just see a hole and they're like, well, somebody else needs to go fix it. Mm. Like with politics. If you don't like politics, go fucking run for fucking Senate. It's not that hard. Or run for borough president or for whatever. If you don't like it, if you're complaining that much about it, go do something to fix it because it's not that difficult. We can all pull ourselves up from the bootstraps and do it because I was able to do it from being left at 17.
Right. And that's where I think, now, when you look at this, you're an act, according to this, I would say you're at act two in your own journey of your own, you know, in your own journey.
Hero's journey.
Well, because essentially what this turns out to be is be a hero in your own story. You know what I mean? All those stories, it gives you the hope and like, wow, I can do that too, right? Yeah. So it doesn't mean you go be a billionaire. Whatever you feel that is, I feel, you go do it, right? So if you want to go make that change, go make that change and don't stop just because you get comfortable. Oh,
that's stopping people from thinking that they can change it? Like, what's wrong with society that
it's their own self, it's their own
mind?
Their own minds. They get inside because they feel everybody when you get to work, because you're not the guy in charge, you feel that you can't make the change. But you can. You can change from within. And again, and I read a great article again, while we were waiting here, kind of changes topic, but who is it? What's his nuts?
No, that guy.
No, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, right? So Warren Buffett's philosophy for keys to true success, real quick, right? Oh no, my computer's a little slow. So first thing he says, one of the main things you need to learn how to do is learn how to communicate and express yourself, right? Written and verbally. Because if you want to be taken serious and if you can't communicate and articulate your ideas, you're at a loss. Nobody will take you serious. We've had this conversation at work. You can sit back and do the best job ever. But you just do that job, you get overlooked. Right? People ask, why have I been promoted, right? And you always joke, well, you're the squeaky wheel. Yeah, because I know my worth and I'm going to articulate what my worth is. I'm going to fight for that because the only one looking out for me in my story is me. And I got to convince the people that sign my checks and can make that determination if I'm worth it. I got to show them and prove my worth.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm fighting for it. There's a lot of people, they go to work, they got a lot of great ideas, but they're afraid to speak because they say, oh, I know my role in my... No.
Yeah.
You can articulate your ideas and help move forward and not and still be part of the pecking order and know your role. But even if your boss takes your idea, but if people know that you've been involved in it, they see it. You're striving. But if you just go, well, I deserve to be promoted because I am. Or in life, I deserve to go be a the best doctor or make the best, you know, oh, that girl's so cute. I should be. No, if you can't articulate yourself and communicate to a female and he brings it up, it's like winking at a girl in the dark. Seriously, that's the truest statement because I'm in that boat. I feel like I know my worth, but I don't always know how to articulate it, especially like, you know, talking to a girl because I become an asshole. Right? Like my goal is to be an asshole. Like not my goal.
Stop winking in the dark.
He becomes an asshole.
No. But like that. No, but that's almost like
turn off the light.
That's like my flirt because like I'm not smooth with words. Right? Like whatever. When I'm drunk, maybe.
I got problems with words and stuff.
No. I do because I actually have a hard time, communicating.
Yeah.
Right. Like I can do it with my hands, my eyes, the bada boop, but. But when it comes down to
bada boom, bada bing, Mr. Whiskers. Like,
right, but we joke all the time because I talk with my hands. But when it comes down to trying, and that's my biggest flaw. When people talk about what's your biggest flaw is, I don't know how to really communicate and articulate. So if you want to strive to be better, those are those keys to success, right? Like you hit a plateau, but eventually, if you're trying to get to that next level or whatever, Those are those things that matter. And even in your case, I feel, mm-hmm. or your case, we're the heroes of our own story. So you take that for what it is. But my thing is, go towards it. The worst thing you can do in this life is not try. Because as long as you try, you can go to your deathbed, say, you know what? I tried. We do this podcast. We're not radio broadcasters. We're not full-time producers or anything. But you know what? Anybody that says you guys are going to fail. No, even if we fail 1,000 times, we're trying. What are you doing?
Yeah.
When I started my DJ business, everybody said, you guys ain't going to blah, blah, blah. We're doing it. What are you doing? Yeah. If you're doing nothing, you can't say nothing to me.
Yeah.
Or to you. You know what I mean? So even in what we're doing, we're in our own heroic journey creating this show, right? We're here. We're trying to do this. We have a goal. So this is more than just a fic, you know, yeah, these are stories, but it's the truest thing because it's trying to say, make yourself better. Know your worth. Don't submit to defeat and what anybody says you can't do. Because you know what? You could do it. It sounds cheesy, but it's true. You could do whatever you want if you really want it. Seriously.
Man. I can't be a firefighter, though. So there's, no.
There's so limitations.
I think in summary, and to bring it back around.
Sorry, I digress.
No. It was actually pretty good. So to bring it into summary, right? These stories, like you said, we tell them to ourselves. We put different it's the same building blocks, right? The archetypical hero. It's the same building blocks. We just use different characters and in different situations, but it's the same thing. And I believe the underlying message is that, like you said, we apply it to our lives and we know that there's going to be struggle, but this struggle is going to teach us a lesson, and this lesson is going to prepare us for the ultimate battle that we eventually conquer. And whether it's from an evolutionary standpoint, something that is innate in us that has allowed us to evolve and to get here as a species, that I think is the underlying message and the reason why this exists. Again, we just scraped at the surface of this idea. We don't comprehend it fully.
I think we need a part two of this.
But I think it's a great conversation, and I'm glad we had it. So. Yeah. All right, folks, thank you for joining us on The Salty Show. Catch us on all the social media platforms. We'll catch you. Oh, shit. We forgot your girl.
We forgot her again.
Just go watch her. Go watch her documentary.
No, don't even do that. Don't make her more powerful. Don't boycott her. Boycott her, please.
Look, I want people to go see her.
Go see how dumb she is.
All right, folks, take it easy.
All right, woo! Peace out, guys.
We're out of here. Adios. I got it. Boys kind of mellow, face from the ghetto. If you still want some more, go and get the fucking sleep.